tonight to share in this last chapter of Daniel. Shared last week my plan, if things continue to work, and I got to work some tests and perhaps surgery and stuff in the midst of all of that, to finish up chapter 12 tonight. And then next Sunday night, we're going to go back and do a little overview of chapter 9, back maybe some in 10, to tie this all together. And then I'm going to go back to our study through the Old Testament through the holidays, and then after Christmas, first of the year, then perhaps start another study on wherever you want to go and whichever book you want to study through, or if it's a subject or idea or something that you'd like for us to dig into, then you be thinking about that, let us know, and we will certainly give it our best shot as to what the Lord would have us to do. But through the month of end of the month of November, the holiday season, and on into December and Christmas and New Year's, then we'll look at starting something that you may enjoy and want to be a part of. I know I haven't done Revelations any justice whatsoever, because it's such a hard book to understand. And did I turn this on? Yes, I did. But in trying to understand it, you know, so much of what Daniel is saying here, he's going back to studies which we've had already. Studies like Ezekiel and some of the other books that we've studied through. And it ties together some of those things. But it doesn't tie together anything like it ties together with the end book of the New Testament, Revelations. And so, you know, I prayed about it. I don't know what the Lord would have us to do. But while Daniel's fresh on our mind, if we went to Revelations, and then we could tie some of those. So you pray what the Lord would have us to do. The end time studies of what we are going to face. But you're looking over this crowd tonight, I can tell you this. It's not going to be long. I don't think the Lord can tarry long. And whether we're in death or whether we're still here and serving the Lord, when that time comes, you know, we're going to be with the Lord. And the conclusion of chapter 12 tonight is simply this. Beware, we win in the end. We're going to be victorious in what the Lord would have us to do concerning the things that He has laid out for us and our hearts and our lives. And so as we think of this, we think about Epiphane. I've told you for the last couple of chapters that Epiphane is a cruel, mean leader. I won't call him a king. I'll just say he's a leader. And he's doing everything in his power that he can to mistreat the Jews. And he, like the Antichrist, and as he's sharing his thoughts and his feelings here, if you backed up in the previous chapter with me just to verse 40, and let's try to tie this together. It said, at the time of the end of the king of the south, the king of the south will engage him in battle, and the king of the north will storm, and out against him with chariots and cavalry, and a great fleet of ships. He will invade many countries and sweep through them like a flood. He will also invade the beautiful land. Many countries will fall, but Edom and Moab and the leaders of Ammon will be delivered from his hand. He will extend his power over many countries. Egypt will not escape. He will gain control of the treasures of gold and silver and all the riches of Egypt, and with the Libyans and the Nubians in submission. But reports from the east and the north will alarm him, and he'll set out in a great rage to destroy and annihilate many. He will pitch his royal tent between the seas at the beautiful holy mountain. Yet he will come to his end, and no one will help him. Now, refresh my memory, but previously in Ezekiel and others, it talked of a great quake coming and a divide in the land. Who was going to be entombed in that? Him and his followers? Like the Antichrist that's here? And so as we think of this, the one that he is dealing with here and the things that he's sharing with us is the belief that Jupiter or Zeus or one of those gods that they worship was king, and that king was going to make war with his king, and it's going to be a great battle. But you know what really unearthed me about that was he pitched his royal tent, the scripture said, there between the seas and the beautiful holy mountain. And that beautiful holy mountain there is Mount Zion, or the city of God. He pitched his tent right in the entranceway into the city of God, Jerusalem. All right, let's see what happens. Chapter 12 and verse 1 says, at that time, Micah, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. So as we see things beginning to unfold here, all this chaos, all this battle, all this mistreatment of the Jews and Gentiles is like it, but basically the Jew, God's chosen people, concerning that, he said, during all of this mistreatment of the Jews, that God's going to allow Micah, the great prince who protects his people, will arise. There will be a time of distress, such as has not happened from the beginning of nations until then. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. So, in his dealings here, as bad as it gets, as rough as it's going to be, as terrible as things have become, God's going to take care of his people. Things that's going to happen here in our life. How is he going to do it? Follow closely in these next few verses. Verse 2 says, multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth are the dead in Christ, are the dead and that are lost. He says, multitudes who sleep in the dust will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. I've told you all these years that life is made up of choices. We make good choices and we make bad choices, but we live with the choices that we make, and our choices has consequences that we have to deal with in our hearts and our lives. But he's talking about here those, and we got to try to get this straight, all right? You got to understand this. A lot of people wonder what happens when you die, right? What does the Bible tell us that happens? At the moment that we die, there's a separation of body and what? Soul. The body goes back to the dust of the earth from whence it came. The soul goes to where? Be with the Lord. One of these days, when all this comes to an end and God has his grace, what's going to happen? It's going to be a reuniting of body and soul. Just like what I talked with you this morning out of John concerning, in chapter 16, concerning, and what John tell us in the last verse this morning. There's going to be distress and tribulations and heartache and suffering and pain and the lives of so many people. And they think, but what about us? We'll be gone, won't we? Rapture going to take care of us. So when he talks about here in this, concerning this, let's go over it again. He said in verse 2 that multitudes will sleep in the dust of the earth. They will be awakened, and some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. He said here that our works will be revealed at this time. When we stand into the presence of heaven, those that have spent their life wisely, serving the Lord, doing his will, he said we will shine like the brightness of the heavens. And those who have led many lost people to saving grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ and to his righteousness will shine like the stars forever and ever. That's a long time, folks. A long time. To be in the beauty and the glory and the brightness of the Lord himself and what he's doing for us. And look at verse 4. There's always that but that's in there we have to look at it. But you, Daniel, close up and seal the words of the scroll until the time of the end. Many will go there, go here and there to increase knowledge. Daniel, seal up that book till the time of the end. And then it'll be revealed, the things that we have done. And he said there'll be many that will go here and there, to and fro, back and forth, up and down, around, everywhere they can go to increase in knowledge. What he's doing, that's what we're doing tonight. We've studied through this book, trying to seek what the Lord is revealing concerning these end times and what's going to take place concerning that. But in the day and the time of Daniel to the day and time of now and what's taking place, what's happened? A lot of things. We're going to talk about it in just a second. A lot of things. But we're not living in the day and age of Daniel. We're living in 2025 here in America, and things have changed a lot since the day of Daniel. Would you agree with me? We living in a whole, Daniel wouldn't even begin to know what to do with a computer, a cell phone, all these other trinkets that we've got that we have nowadays and our lives. Verse 5, he said, then I, Daniel, looked, and there before me stood two others, one on this bank of the river, or the bigger Tigris River down there, and the other in the Salt Sea, I believe, the Dead Sea. But he said, there stood before me two others, one on the banks of the river and one on the opposite bank. One of them said to the man that was clothed in linen, who was above the water of the rivers. How long would we hear that this morning? In our message this morning, John, how long will it be before these astonishing things are fulfilled? These two men, one's on each side of the river there, they spoke out. One asked to the other, said, you hear what he said? He said, you know, that there's going to be those that will wise, going to shine like the elements, you know, like the stars that are there. Wonder when that's going to be. How's that going to be? And all we know is the scripture relates to us on several occasions, the signs of the times. Now, everywhere you go nowadays, especially me, and I think it's probably true with you, we talk about different things that's happening in our world around about us. Earthquakes and tornadoes and storms and fires and floods and you name it. I share with you all the time, I've never lived in an age in my 73 years that there has been as many natural disasters in these last few years. And people will say, well, the Lord's talking to us. He's trying to tell us something. You know, it's a sign of the time. If you read the good book, you know, and all these kind of comments that people make concerning, and certainly they are there. But they're there for a holy purpose, not for a matter of conversation. They're there for you and I to take a review of our lives and see whether we're going to shine like the stars, where our righteousness is going to be good. Now, how many times have you heard me tell you that where God is, something can't be? What is it? Unconfessed sin. So, as good as we can be, when we stand in the presence of the Lord, what's going to happen? What did Isaiah do? He cried out. He said, woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean. He saw his unworthiness when he stood. What do you think Larry's going to see? What are you going to see? Your perfectness? No. What's God going to have to clean up? That unworthiness that we have. At our very, very, very best, confessing and praying and asking God to forgive us every day when we stand in His presence, we got to have a good, good cleaning up in order to stand in His presence. Here, the man clothed in linen. I don't have anything to prove that by, but I believe it's the Lord or His angel. And the scripture says that he lifted up his right hand and his left hand towards heaven. And I heard him swear by him who lives forever, saying, it will be for a time, times, and half a time. Time, 1 year. Times, see that S on the end of it? 2 years. 2 and 1 makes 3. And half a time, or a half a year. 3.5 years of the 7-year tribulation period. He said, when the power of the holy people has been finally broken, all these things will be accomplished. And this. So, 3.5 years, you know, you can take that literally or you can take it figuratively. But I have to continue to remind myself that time doesn't matter to God. You and I live by the clock, right? We know exactly where we got to be and what we got to do. You know, our week's planned out for us, you know. When we, the last thing we do when we go to bed tonight, we're going to punch that clock on and get ready. Some of you will be lucky enough you don't have to do that. But first thing we want to know when we look at that clock is what time is it, you know? And that's the way we ought to look at how things are with the Lord and what He would have us to do in our lives. He said, when the power of the holy people has been finally broken, all these things will be accomplished in the life of an individual. All right? Verse 8 says, I heard, but I did not understand. So I asked, my Lord, what will the outcome of all this be? What did we hear this morning? Lord, what and when? Wasn't it? What and when? And here, in verse 8, he's asking here. But the power of the holy people seems to be crushed over and over again throughout all of history. You may not grasp it, but the stuff that's anti-Christian today and against the church and God's holy people is mounting to a great concern. Look at all the warfare that's taking across in the Middle East over there and all the things, all the bombings. Even with the treaty and the peace talks and all the things, they still fighting like crazy over there. And whenever the 10 men come together that Effenfien talked about, Ezekiel talked about, and so many others in their lives, they get their heads together and they put their armies together, then the great battle is going to take place. And who's going to fight that battle? The Lord Himself. We get to be spectators, and we get to watch, and we get to see. You know, the army of the Lord. But He don't need my help, and He don't need your help. You know, a lot of people today have gotten so concerned about the signs of the time of the age that we're living in and the things that we're doing, to they put their emphasis on making sure they had enough ammunition. If anybody comes against me, they're going to have to come through this old gun of mine, you know? And they're putting their dependence on what? Saving themselves, aren't they? It won't be a match for the Lord, will it? What He has in store for them. He said here that it'll be for a time, times, and half a time when the power of the holy people has been finally broken and all these things will be completed. And what he's talking about there, God's reoccurring purpose in all of this is just to break the pride and self-sufficiency of his rebellious people. Bring them to accept Him as their Lord. So many people today have worked out their own circumstance. And they decided within themselves, as long as I do this, this, and this, you know, and I've accomplished this, this, and this, that everything's all right. Wrong. You know, what did they leave out of that? Everything that they said was, who did it? I did it. I. As long as I did this and I did that and I done those things. But they left the Lord out of that. What's so significant about that? What did the Lord do? He's the one that died for them. Absolutely. your heart. He said, I heard, but I did not understand. So I asked my Lord, what will the outcome of all this be? Here's his reply. Listen to him in verse 9. Go your way, Daniel, because the words are closed up and sealed until the time of the end. Quit worrying, Daniel, about when, where, and what. He said, go your way, because the words are closed up and sealed until the time of the end. Daniel is an old man, probably getting, if he ain't already in his 90s, he's getting mighty close. He started this, he's in his 80s. And as he's gone through the things and the Lord's revealed to him the things that he has shown him concerning this in his life. You know, Daniel, we don't know why, but he didn't go back to Jerusalem for the rebuilding of the walls and the city and the temple and all those things, you know. We had some speculations. We thought perhaps his age was the reason that he knew he wouldn't be able to make that journey back across that six-month track back across to Jerusalem and stuff. Maybe, you know, his place of responsibility there under, can't think of the king's name right now, but him, his authority there, he could do the Jews more good there. He could get more supplies, get more things to help them build the temples and stuff by staying behind. Or maybe, you know, he just didn't want to. He was felt like his ministry was more important right where he was than somewhere else. But Daniel, he said, Daniel, go your way, because the words are closed up and sealed until the time of the end. Verse 10 points out some things. See where you fit in here. He said in verse 10, many will be purified. What do we need purification for? Got to have our act cleaned up before we can be before the Lord, hadn't we? Many will be purified, he said here, and made spotless, refined. What do you do when you refine something? Clear out all the impurities, don't you? What's the best way to do that? Through the heat, it separates those impurities, and they skimmed off and throw it away. He said in that 3.5 year period there of the 7 year tribulation, that many will be purified, many will be made spotless, many will be refined, but the wicked, but the wicked will continue to be wicked. None spotless and refined. None of the wicked will understand, but those who are wise will understand. Got the wrong glasses on. Get over here where I can see it. Praise the Lord. There it is. Many will be purified, made spotless and refined, but the wicked will continue to be wicked. Have you ever talked to somebody and it seemed like the more and more you talked and begged and pleaded and cried and prayed and witnessed and talked to them, they just got more and more wicked, you know? Why is that? What are they doing when they're rejecting? They harden in their hearts to the word of the Lord, aren't they? He said, none of the wicked will understand, but those who are wise will understand. They can harden their hearts. They can reject. They can refuse the glory that God has for them. He said, but the wise will understand it. What's the smartest thing you can do? Make sure you're in the right relationship with the God that loves you. What I tell you all the time, where's the most dangerous place in all the world to be? Outside the will of God for your life. That's right. We got to know that we know that we know that we're a child of God. All right, look at verse 11. He said, from the time that the daily sacrifice is abolished and the abomination that caused desolation is set up, there will be 1,290 days. Now, there's a lot of argument, a lot of thinkings that have gone into these numbers and stuff. And nobody really knows concerning these days and what they mean. But I know this, God tells me in His Word that a day is 1,000 years with the Lord and 1,000 years of the day. You know, so time matters to us, but it doesn't matter to Him. What was the desolation that caused God to be so upset with Ephraim and his armies that he came in and took over the temple and the things? What did they do? What was the, let me put it in Bexley language, what was the straw that broke the camel's back? What did Ephraim do? He took a sacrifice. What was that sacrifice? A pig, that's right, pork. Jew was strictly forbidden from what? Eating the pork. And the altar was made of sacrifice for the richest to the poorest. Wherever you fed in, whether it was an oxen or whether it was a turtle dove down here, whatever you could afford and offer as your sacrifice on that altar, the priest did it. What happened to that sacrifice this morning in John 16? When he went to that cross and died, what happened? The veil of the temple did what? Rent open. That gave you and I what? Direct access to the Lord, to God Himself. And what did Jesus tell us He's going to do? He's going to take our hand and do what? Lead us to who? The Father. Oh, that's going to be an awesome thing, isn't it? For Him. But when we stand before God, what are we going to do? Give an account of ourselves. For the things that we've done in our body, whether they be good or whether they be... If Isaiah fell on his face before the Lord and cried out, woe is me, for I am a man of... As good a man, as priestly a man as he was, as godly a man as he was, yet when he saw the Lord, he saw what? His unworthiness. How pitiful he really was. So he said here that from the time that the daily sacrifice is abolished, what did the Jew do? Three times a day. Y'all going to have to tighten up now a little bit. Help me just a little bit. Three times a day, what did they do? Morning, noon, and night. Prayed, that's right. And they had their feast days. They had their obligations to do their sacrifice and stuff. But he said from the time that the daily sacrifice was abolished, old Ephraim wouldn't let them do that anymore. And the abomination that caused desolation, he offered that pig on the sacrifice there as in my eyes, a way of saying, I'll show you God, you know. But boy, I bet you right now he wished he could redo that, don't you? He said, there'll be 1,290 days. Blessed is the one who waits for and reaches the end of the 1,335 days. Now, I wrote this down out of my study Bible, so I'm going to read it to you. Verse 7 says that 3.5 years are the 42 months of the Antichrist war on Israel, till God purges every rebel so the Jew can do His will. God's going to judge the earth. that 3.5 year period, the 7 years of tribulation, and these individuals that he's dealing with here. So the second period that he talks about, the 1,335 days, it's he has 30 days to that 1,290 days, and then in the fourth period, he adds another 15 days. So 30 and 15 is 45 days, and you add that to the 1,290 days, and you come up with 1,335 days. The significance of that belongs to God, because what did he do just before he determined these days? He sealed the book. Until when? The end. That's right. He said, this is what we need to pay attention to tonight. I want to leave you with this thought. Okay? Follow me in verse 12. Blessed is the one who waits for and reaches the end of the 1,335, the end time whenever God says, son, that's it, go bring my children home. Those of us that can be remain faithful, serve God, do his will in our hearts and our lives, we will be blessed. We'll have to answer for some things, but we won't go through those that rejected him and are going to be cast out in the tribulation period, that last 3.5 years of that. Woo, you talk about some tough things. There's going to be some tough things. You think we've having some hard days here. We've been going through some bad things. You wait till then. As for you, he said, go your way till the end. You will rest, and then at the end of the days, you will rise to receive your allotted inheritance. What did he tell us we needed to be doing? Don't put so much emphasis on the when, what, and where, and how. Just go your way. Continue to, who did he say was going to be less? In that very beginning there, he said, those who are wise would do what? Shine like the brightness of the heavens. Those who lead many to righteousness, help them trust the Lord as their Savior, they're going to shine like the stars forever and ever. So he said, Daniel, quit worrying about the when, where, what, and hows. Go your way and do my will. You're going to rest. You'll die. Then at the end of the days, you will rise to receive your allotted inheritance. Now, what does Paul tell us in the New Testament in Thessalonica concerning this? What did he say? But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. All those that are dead in Christ that have died before us, he said, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, what's going to happen? The dead's going to rise, and we'll be called up to meet them in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. But who's going to rise? The dead in Christ. Then in that last period of time there, he'll deal with those that are left behind. But what's going to happen at, what did he say in the beginning of this? It's going to happen to those. Going to die. What's going to happen to this body? Where do we go when we die? We go back to the dust of the earth, the body does, but the soul goes where? All right? And in the end, what's going to happen? We're going to be a reuniting of body and soul. And we'll be, don't know what we're going to be like, but we're going to be like him, and he's what?
Perfect.
Perfect. That's right. Perfect. So I'll take that, won't you? No more heart tests, no more cancer, no more chemo, no more radiation, no more trips to Hattiesburg, no more trips to Mobile, no more $20 copays, you know, on and on and on, you know. Absolutely. If we're not careful, what can happen, though? All those things can make us what? Weary, can't it? Make us worn, you know. So we have to look on the bright side. Look at that brightness of our righteousness and our service to the Lord. What do you have us to do? Any questions? Anything you want to share?
Mm-hmm. All those things we talked about.
Absolutely.
You got to stay focused on what the Lord, what's to come.
Yeah.
Make you better.
One day it's going to be worth it all. Absolutely. I'll try next Sunday night to back up and show you a few things. And I'll give you a little hint what those things will probably be kind of like. Comparing the day and age that we're living in now. And when they went to battle, I'll just use one illustration. The armies that were the stoutest were the ones that had not just foot soldiers, but they had what? Horses and chariots. And those chariots had those blades out there, you know, and they could run through and cut a person asunder and do. That was their army. That was their biggest, best battle thing that they had. What do we have today? You know, a few years back, you know, when we was in the conflict with one of them things, and they took one of them missiles and they launched it way over here. And that thing went way over yonder. And they put it down the chimney of that milk factory. You remember that? And I said, you know, we done got pretty smart, ain't we? We done got pretty smart. And that ain't nothing compared with what we got today, you know, and stuff. All right? Horses. What do we got today? We got horses, Broncos. Ford makes them, though. And well, we got all this modern stuff in comparison with what they have, you know. What's all that going to be? We think we, you know, somebody threatens us, what do? But in it all, what happens? We get through it, don't we? We get through it. Any other thought? What we have and what we don't even know what all we have. Our military and stuff, they blow my mind all the time when they do some of the things they do. Anything else you want to share? Thank you for being here and being a part of this. I know I haven't done it justice, but there's so much of it I can't comprehend because I'm not supposed to comprehend. He told me, quit worrying about that, Larry. Go on and worry about the brightness of the stars and my righteousness, and lead as many people to Jesus as you can. Any other thought? Brother Curtis, will you dismiss?